chapter number 12. We've been enjoying this passage, and I wanted to get through this whole sermon, but I know better, and so we won't do that tonight. We'll have part one and part two to this important text here, and to spend a lot of time delving into this, and I feel like the Lord's given great clarity for Hebrews chapter number 12, and so that's where we'll be together here this evening. Our study in Hebrews has brought us to chapter 12, verse 5. As we've been going through the scriptures. And of course, we know before this, it had been made clear to these Hebrew believers that Jesus is better. That's the theme of the book of Hebrews, that Jesus is better. And Jesus had offered to these Hebrew believers that are being written to and also to us today, is offering a better way for us to approach God, and that is through faith in His finished work. Because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And boy, it's been a joy studying these wonderful truths in the book of Hebrews. And so these believers were being encouraged to go on from the Old Testament system, to go on to the New Covenant, to go on to this wonderful, beautiful privilege that God has brought us into, a close relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But here was the problem that a lot of these Hebrews were facing. As they began to face struggles, even persecutions, many of them were getting tired, were getting weary. And some of them were even thinking about throwing in the towel, giving up. Or some of them, as has been warned throughout the book already, were thinking about even going back to what they believed before, going back to Judaism and that old law system. And they were in danger of that very thing. And so here as we get to chapter 12... right before we got to 12, they were reminded about some heroes of the faith who had finished their race of faith before them. And now they're being challenged, as we turn to chapter 12, to run their own race of faith for the Lord. And a common theme that we see emphasized throughout chapter number 12 is endurance. Over and over again, we see it repeated, endure, endure. Look at verse number 1, for example. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." And then read the next phrase with me. "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." That word patience there is the Greek word hupomeno. And it literally means endurance. It could also be translated endurance. So run with endurance the race set before you. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what? Endured. Okay, Jesus endured the cross. And the Bible goes on to say in verse number 3, for consider him that what? Endured. There it is again. We're seeing this repeated time and again. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And so as these believers were being challenged to set forth in running their own race of faith, they were encouraged first to consider how Jesus had endured before them. Now we hit on this last week, but it bears need to be reminded and repeated for us here today. Hey, Jesus endured the horrors of the cross. He endured the cross is what verse 2 tells us. Jesus endured the hostility of sinners. Endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And as a result of his endurance, we find in the end that his endurance brought him to a place of honor at God's right hand. He's exalted to the right hand of the Father. And we see the payoff then for endurance. We see Jesus as our example of enduring. And now we as believers, as we run our own race of faith, our Christian race through this life, we are encouraged to look to Jesus, to consider Jesus as our example. As he ran victoriously, we have his life flowing through us now today. We are in Christ, and we can experience that same victory that Jesus Christ experienced. We can endure as Jesus endured, not in our own strength, but in his strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, is what the Bible says in another place of Scripture. And so Jesus set before us a perfect example of what it looks like to run with endurance. And this theme in the chapter is critically important. The context is always critically important in helping us understand what the Bible is teaching. And so here, with this thought of endurance in mind, we come to verse 5. And in verse 5, this is what the Bible says. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." As we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to understand that as you run your race of faith, God wants you to remember that it is through the difficulties that you face in life that He desires to train you to trust Him. I told you last week, chastening is not punishment. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Chastening, the word chastening literally means, it was a Greek word that referred to the process by which the Greeks would train their children in schoolhouses and gymnasiums of that day and time. It literally means to child train is what it's talking about. And what God is wanting us to understand as we run our race of faith is that when we come to difficulties, He wants to use those things to teach us to trust Him more. And that is so critically important for us, and we're going to really dig deep into this as we go into this passage of Scripture. And so understand, the trials you face are God's training tools to bring you to maturity. God wants to help bring you to maturity. He wants to make you a little bit more detached from this world and a little bit more attached to Him. He's trying to train you to trust Him more, to obey Him as He has commanded you. And so the difficulties God allows in your life aren't reasons for quitting. And this is what these believers in Hebrews really needed to be reminded of, and we need to be reminded of today too. The difficulties you face, they are not reasons for quitting. Those are the very things God permits in your life to expand your ability to endure. And remember, the whole theme of this passage is endurance. And God's saying, hey, you look at those things as reasons for throwing in the towel in your race of faith, but I'm permitting those things to stretch you. I'm permitting those things to train you, to strengthen you. Anybody who's worked out for any matter of time understands that, that those things are necessary. And so let me ask it to you this way. If all your life was easy, wouldn't you become pretty flabby? Okay, if all you did is sit around and eat Cheetos and watch the TV, all right, some of you, that's what you really like to do, okay? All right, wouldn't you become pretty flabby getting on that process? I did something this year that I had not done in several months. You know what I did? I stepped on a scale. And when you haven't done it for a long time, that's a scary thing to do, okay? And I stepped on a scale, You know, when I came here, I weighed 190 pounds, all right? I got on that scale, and guess how much I weighed? 230 pounds. I've heard people say, where are you hiding it? Thank you, but I know you're lying, okay? I tell you what, I stepped on that, and I attribute it to my wife's biscuits every Sunday. She gets all the credit for it. So, but no, I tell you, I stepped on the scale and I realized, boy, not disciplining myself, not training myself has consequences. And if you don't stay active, then there's going to be some buildup in your life there. And so I made a decision Since I'm starting to feel like I'm getting a little flabby, I decided I was going to start working out, and I was going to start trying to watch what I eat and do all those kinds of things. And praise God, it's already been in effect for 3 weeks, and starting to see some results slowly but surely. But I'll tell you this, I'm sore. It doesn't feel good all the time, okay? The staff could tell you, sometimes they hear somebody slowly walking up the stairs going, ow, 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 that's me, okay, because I'm sore. And on one side of it, you say, well, why would you do that to yourself? Well, honestly, the reason that we do that, do those types of things to ourselves is to get ourselves back into shape, get ourselves back where we want to be. I'm not doing it intentionally to hurt myself. I'm doing it to help myself be able to live a better life and be more healthy. And when we think about God's discipline in our lives, the discipline He allows in our life, we could put it, it's the same way. He's not doing it to hurt us. He's doing it to help us grow. And that's the whole intention in the whole thing. And so I believe that as we look at this passage, God is saying, don't forget why I'm allowing all this. Don't forget why I'm doing all of this. God is conditioning you to be stronger, more mature, and more able to endure. That's the whole idea of chastening. Billy Graham, he once said, God does not discipline us to subdue us, but to condition us for a life of usefulness and blessedness. And I'll tell you, all of us should desire this from the Lord. All of us should desire the chastening of the Lord so that we can get to a place where we thrive and not just survive in our Christian life. And it's a good thing that God intends for our good as well. And so as we look at this tonight, I want you to consider the need for chastening that you have in your own life. And we're going to notice three reminders about why the Bible tells us God chastens us. And let's pray together and ask God to speak to our hearts before we dig into these things. Father, we come before you. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to open your word again tonight. And I pray that you'd strengthen us, help us to grow through the truths that we discover, and speak to our hearts in a way that only you can. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Number one, if you're taking notes here tonight, first there is a reminder of God's affection. There's a reminder of God's affection for you. Verse number 5, if you're there, say amen. The Bible says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation that speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. Hey, it's easy to forget the fact that it is because God loves you that he disciplines you. It's easy to forget that fact. And that's why he said in the scripture, you have forgotten this exhortation. Now, I think all of us, or I should say many of us at least, at some point heard our parents say when they were about to discipline us, this hurts me more than it hurts you. That did not make any sense when I was a kid, okay? But now I'm a parent, and it makes a whole lot more sense. I don't like to spank my kids. I don't like to discipline my kids. I don't like to have to get on to them. In fact, it's just downright discouraging sometimes and annoying at other times to have to do it. But it's because I love my kids that I do it. And that's what God wants us not to forget here. He wants to remind us of his affection for us. That's the message God's conveying here. And this is a quote from Proverbs chapter 3. That he is repeating here to us in the scripture. And we're reminded here of how we ought to respond to God's affectionate discipline in our life. And let me give these ways we're supposed to respond. First of all, when we think about God's affectionate discipline in our life, we should be encouraged by it. We should be encouraged by it. The Bible says in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as unto children. Now that word exhortation in verse 5, it comes from the Greek word paraklesis. And anybody know who the paraklete is in the Greek, who it refers to, the paraklete? Who is it, Brother Wilson? The Holy Spirit. All right, so exhortation is paraklesis. It's talking about something similar to what the Holy Spirit does in our life. It's exhortation. It literally means encouragement or comfort is what it's talking about there. You've forgotten this word of encouragement, this word of comfort in your life. And the encouragement that they were receiving here was something that had been spoken to them. What they were being encouraged to remember was God's word, something God had already told them. The word speaketh, the exhortation which speaks to you. That word speaketh, it literally means to think different ways with oneself. Literally, what God's saying is, I gave you a word that if you would listen to it, it would make you think differently about what you're going through right now. The encouragement I want to give to you will cause you to look at the circumstances you're going through in your life, not negatively, but positively. Not in a way that you think, I hate you, and that's why I'm allowing this in your life. It's because I love you I'm allowing this in your life. It speaks to you. And this is an encouragement that God wants us to understand. And so God's word of encouragement was given to speak to them when they went through difficulty to remind them that it was all being done in love. And this is something these believers had obviously forgotten. And so the Lord writes to them and he says, you have forgotten this exhortation that speaks into you. And the reason they had forgotten it is because of what that last phrase says. It speaketh to you as unto who? What does it say there in verse 5? The exhortation speaketh to you as unto children. Now don't miss this, okay? Here is why they missed it. This encouragement was meant for mature believers. You say, wait a second. It says children. It doesn't say mature believers. Well, you study your Bible a little bit. You'll understand that the Greek word that's used for little children is tekna. The word that's used here is huios, and it's talking about adult children. It's talking about full grown children. This exhortation speaks unto you as unto full grown sons and daughters. Have you ever tried to reason with an infant? There's no reasoning. Have you ever tried to reason with a toddler? I think that's worse. Have you ever tried to reason with a teenager? That is definitely the worst. It's like it gets worse with age. No, especially with young children, especially with immature children, you can't talk reason to them. Children do not understand why their parents ask them to do and make them do what they make them do. They don't understand why you discipline them for the things you discipline them for. They don't understand why you don't let them eat a whole tub of ice cream every night. Okay? They don't understand why you won't let them go over to certain friends' houses, okay? They get mad about these things. Immature individuals do not understand discipline. And they certainly don't understand that it's because those who are over them love them that they execute discipline upon them. And so an immature believer has a really tough time understanding that it's because God loves them that sometimes he allows them to go through certain things in their life. Even puts certain things in their life to train them and to teach them. But God's discipline in our life is encouraging because it reminds us that we have a Father who loves us so much that he wants to train us to live his way instead of going our own way, which will eventually destroy us. Listen, Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And that's why the Bible tells parents, train up a child in the way he should go, so that when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You listen, if God tells you to train your children, you better believe he's going to be doing that to his children. You better believe it. And so we understand this from the scripture. You ought to be encouraged by the discipline of God, the things he puts in your life to train you and to bring you closer to him. Now, let me just stop here and say this. And you parents, especially those of you who have kids at home, you listen to me and you listen to me well here tonight. The parent who doesn't discipline his child doesn't love his child. You say, I love my kids too much to spank them. You don't love them at all if you don't spank them. You listen to me. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. You guys have that in your notes? All right, I don't have it in my notes, so I'm going to turn over there. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 24. The Bible tells us, he that spareth his rod, what? Hates his son. Whoa. Whoa. That's in your face. He that spares the rod hates his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. We're in a day and time where culture tells us, well, if you love your kid, then you'll just give him a pep talk and put him in the corner whenever he does wrong. And all type of reverse psychology and all types of mumbo jumbo, when all the time God says, if you don't discipline that kid, you don't love that kid. By the way, it doesn't stop when they turn 10, 11, 12, 13. All right? The last spanking I got, I was 15 years old. It was the most humiliating moment of my life, I think. But I learned the lesson, and I deserved it, and I needed to understand respect and obedience. And I tell you something, what a great responsibility we've been given as parents. When you truly understand chastening, you understand it's because of God's affection that he does it. And you need to be encouraged by it. Here's a second thing I'd add to that. You need to be enlightened by it. Enlightened by it. The Bible goes on in verse number 5 and says, my son, this exhortation that speaks unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. God encourages his children here not to think little about what he is trying to teach us. Not to despise it. That word despise is a Greek word that literally means to care little for or to lightly regard something. And let me just say, I remember one time in my life, and it only took one time, okay? I remember one time in my life where I despised or lightly regarded my mother's chastening. I remember it very well, very vivid in my mind. Another one of those dumb things I did, okay? Mom had, I don't even remember what I did, but Mom was lovingly spanking me, disciplining me, explaining that whatever I did was wrong, and she spanked me, and I had gotten to an age where I didn't think it hurt, so you know what I turned around and I said? Well, that didn't hurt. Let me report the fact, it hurt after that. And it hurt even more when Dad got home. Yes, I learned a lesson about despising, chastening. We look at that word despise and we think it's talking about hating, or it's actually talking about esteeming lightly or lightly regarding. Not taking it seriously is another way that we might put it. And let me just say, don't live like you don't care about what God is trying to teach you through what he's allowing you to go through. Choose to be instructed by it. Choose to be trained through it. That's why God has brought it into your life. Listen, we cringe when we look at children who refuse to listen to their parents' counsel. I go to the store and I see a parent tell Junior to do something and Junior doesn't do it. Boy, it just makes me want to go over and spank him, okay? but they don't listen. And a child that doesn't learn to listen to his parents won't listen to God, and he's headed in a really bad direction for his life. I'll promise you that right there. And how horrid it is for a child of God, even more so, to despise God's counsel, to just not even regard God's counsel. I like what the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 22, hearken unto thy father which begot thee, and despise, same word, same idea in that word, despise not thy mother when she is old. Hearken. Well, that's the best choice right there. And when it comes to God's chastening, it's a token of his affection. And we need to be encouraged by it. We also need to be enlightened by it. Don't esteem it lightly, but regard it sincerely. Allow it to teach you something. Another thing I'd add to this is we need to be energized by it. Be energized by it. The Bible says in verse 5, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, and read the next phrase with me, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Hey, instead of getting discouraged by the difficulties that God brings into your life, you ought to be energized by it instead. Instead of getting discouraged by God's hand of chastening in your life, you ought to be energized by it because it's a token of His loving care in your life. That word faint there in verse number 5. Note that word faint in verse number 5. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. That word faint is the Greek ekluo, and it means to become weak, to become exhausted, or even to become faint-hearted. This is a quote from Proverbs chapter 3, which we studied a couple years ago. And in Proverbs chapter 3, the word that this is quoted from, the word that's used there is weary. And that Hebrew word, weary, it literally means to sever yourself from something. That's the idea that's communicated by it. And so there's all types of truth that we can pull out of these definitions here. But let me just say this. If you forget the purpose for which God allows the difficulties in your life, if you forget the purpose, you will get to the point of exhaustion and of even quitting. Of even wanting to sever yourself, detach yourself, distance yourself from God. Children do this too with their parents when they misunderstand the purpose of discipline. And it's important that we see this contrast here. But here's the thing. If you remember what God is doing when He corrects you, it will draw you all the more closer to Him. It will draw you all the more closer to Him. And God allows things in our life, and sometimes they're corrective things. They're training things, teaching things, but He allows difficulties and trials into our life to teach us to trust Him more, to draw us closer to Him. When we don't understand why God is doing what He's doing, we can allow those very same things He's allowing to draw us closer to Him to cause us to want to distance ourselves from Him, to faint, to become exhausted. And you need to understand this as a child of God, the purpose of His hand of chastening in your life. It is to teach you to trust Him more, to draw you closer to Him, not to drive you farther away. And so you need to be energized by it. Hey, when God allows a trial in your life, a circumstance in your life that's corrective, that is helpful, that helps you to grow, you ought to embrace it. You ought to be energized by it because God is wanting to draw you closer to Himself. And not faint when those things happen in your life. Here's another thing I'd say. You need to be educated about it. You need to be educated about it. Verse number 6. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourges every son whom He receives." Hey, it's easy to get the wrong idea about God's chastening. It's very easy to get the wrong idea about it. Satan wants you to believe that the difficulties, the hardships that God brings into your life, the chastening hand of God is a token of the fact that He doesn't love you. That's what Satan wants you to believe. Well, if God loves you, He wouldn't let this happen in your life. If God loves you, and those are the types of lies that Satan tries to whisper into our ears, and they couldn't be farther from the truth, because no matter what measure of discipline we experience, we can be sure that God's chastening hand is controlled by His loving heart. There'll never be something He does in our life that isn't done in love. Chastening is a token of God's affection for us. And so here is the fact you need to be educated about. The only people who get divine discipline from God, He says in this verse, are those that God loves and receives. Look at verse 6 again. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He scourges every son whom He what? The only ones that the Bible says God chastens are the ones He loves and the ones He receives. That word love is agapeo, which means to prize or delight in someone. And so the ones that God delights in, those are the ones that He rebukes. And the Bible says the ones He scourges, scourge means to whip, okay? The ones He whips are the ones that He receives. Parodekomai, it means the ones that He acknowledges as His own. So He is scourging the ones He's saying are His. He is rebuking, correcting the ones that He loves, that He has special delight in, He chooses as His own. And so here's the application. If God is disciplining you, It's because he loves you and because he knows that you're his. That's why he's doing it. And that's an encouraging thing we'll touch more on in just a moment. Here's another fact you need to be educated about when it comes to God's chastening. Every measure of God's chastening is done in love. Every measure of God's chastening is done in love. Now, there are several words used to describe how God disciplines us here. Of course, chastening, paideia, is used here. It's talking about child training. It refers to the whole education of children, both morally, physically, and of the mind. All of those areas are involved. The word rebuke is used as a token of a way that God chastens us. As I said a moment ago, rebuke means to correct. And then he uses the word scourge in verse 6, whom he scourges. That's another form of discipline, and that literally means to whip. And note this, because it's easy to get this confused. All of these verbs that are used to describe ways God chastens us are in the present active tense in the Greek. And I know I'm getting technical, but this is important for you to understand. All of these terms are in the present active, and this is something that really helped me understand what this passage was actually talking about. What that means is that this isn't something that God did in the past, but it's something he's doing in the present. That's what present active means. He's doing it now. You say, well, that happened to me in the past, but it can't happen to me today. Well, you don't have to change what the Bible says. Okay? Or you can get a new version of the Bible that try to change things, or we can just go with what the Bible says. God chastens us today. It's in the present and active that he's doing this. And all of these tokens, all of these ways that he disciplines us are done in love. And so sometimes God will correct you. Other times he may even whip you, the circumstances of your life. But every action he takes is done in love to educate you. To educate you about how you can be closer to him. You can live in his ways. I like what John Phillips noted on this. He said, each stroke God administers is weighed by him in fairness and firmness to suit our needs exactly and to bring us to our sense, not to lay us senseless in the dust. Every stroke, everything he allows in your life is intentional and it's done with love. And so the important thing you need to understand is that all the discipline God brings in your life is done in love. Now, listen. You've heard the phrase before like I have, rules without relationship lead to what? Rebellion. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. If we say that this chastening is something that happens for unbelievers, the problem with that premise is that there's no relationship. And so if chastening is taking place then, that would not draw people to God. It would drive them farther away. The chastening happens to those of us who have a relationship with God. And we understand that the discipline that God brings into our life, God doesn't do it to drive us farther away from him, but to draw us closer to him. This is not rules without relationship. God loves us. He wants us to know he loves us. And he uses the circumstances of our life to teach us so many things. Listen, chastening doesn't mean that whenever God's mad at you, he's going to allow something bad to happen to you. That is not at all what this is about. In fact, most of the time, God just uses the circumstances of our life to teach us. In fact, I would go so far as to say all the time. Does God bring those circumstances in our life? Not always. Not always. I wouldn't even say most of the time. Most of the times where God has taught me things was through circumstances of my own devising. It's kind of like I'm trying to think of an illustration of this. A kid goes over and this happened to me when I was young. You try to teach your kids not to touch the oven, right? When it's hot, and you keep teaching them, and eventually I kept doing that when I was young, and eventually I think mom and dad just let me go do it, and I learned, and I never wanted to touch the oven again after that. I burned myself, And you say, well, that wasn't very loving. Well, I think they saved me from a lot of hardship down the road. It could have been a lot worse than what it was. And the point is, I think sometimes God teaches us through the circumstances that are already going on in our life. Doesn't necessarily have to bring those circumstances into our life. But everything that God allows in our life is with intent. God is sovereign over everything that happens in our life. And everything that he allows in our life, everything that he provokes in our life, he wants to use those things for us as believers to teach us to trust him more. And listen, we're going to have to stop on this first point tonight because we're almost out of time, because I really don't want to rush into this next part. But I believe this passage of Scripture goes so well along with what we're learning in our theme this year, But God. Because, you know, even as we look at Joseph's life, the things that God allowed Joseph to go through when he was young, the favoritism he experienced and the envy and hatred of his brothers, God used all of those things, I believe, as training, as chastening. I mean, it wasn't judgment. It wasn't, you're being bad, Joseph, and so I'm going to... No, he allowed these things just to train him to trust him. Why? Because God knew that Joseph was going to be sent off into Potiphar's house. He's going to be put in prison. And he was going to need to understand how to trust God through all of those things. On the same token, we could look at Joseph's brothers and look at the actions that they took against their brothers and how through all of those circumstances, in the end, God used those same things to teach his brothers what grace looks like through Joseph, to teach his brothers what forgiveness looks like. And the same thing was happening in their lives as well. And these were the people of God. These were God's chosen people. And so we see that illustrated even in those circumstances. And the point I want to close on here tonight is that as you look at the circumstances of your life, okay, especially the difficulties that you might be going through right now, or the areas of your life that seem like they're a point of conflict, maybe even areas of your past. Instead of writing off those areas or despising those areas or refusing to learn from those areas, why don't you embrace them? Because God wants to use those things to teach you to trust him. That's the whole point of what we're learning in this passage of Scripture. And we are the children of God. And as God's children, he wants to train us. But you have to ask yourself, are you going to be willing to be open to what God is trying to teach you? You don't want to be the person who gets discouraged by what God's trying to encourage you through. Who gets weakened by what God's trying to strengthen you through. Just because you misunderstand one fundamental fact. God is allowing all of this stuff in your life, not because he hates you. Listen, we misunderstand God's chastening when we as believers, something happens in our life and we think, oh, well, God is making me pay for what I did in the past. Wrong. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, okay? Forgiven and forgotten, far as the east is from the west. Remember reading that stuff? Yeah, that's what happened for you when you got saved, okay? That's not what's happening, okay? God is not punishing you, all right? God may be allowing difficulty into your life, but he's doing it because he loves you and he wants to be closer to you. He wants to teach you to live in such a way that's for your benefit and for his glory. That's why he's doing all this. I want us to go to one final passage of Scripture before we're done. It might be in your notes, but Romans chapter number 8. Such an important passage here when it comes to God's love for us. Romans chapter number 8. And let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse number, I think it's 35. Let me look here. Verse number 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 38, nay, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can separate you from his love. Even the things that are in your present. All right? You think, well, I've done some things recently and I just don't think that God's happy with me right now. I just don't think that God loves me. Well, you're wrong. He does. And he's even going to use those difficult circumstances you're going through today to teach you just how much he really does love you. And that's an encouragement for us. And so when it comes to God's chastening in our life, we need to be reminded that it's because he loves us. It's because of his affection for us that he does this. And so be encouraged by it. And so be enlightened by it. Learn from it. It's because God loves you that he's teaching you these things. Be energized by it. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel just because God's allowing difficulty into your life. It's because he loves you and he wants to help you grow and become stronger and endure. That's why he's allowing these things. And then be educated about it. Be sure you understand why this is happening. Those are important things for us to understand. And I'm thankful that we have a God who loves us so much, cares about us so much, that he would be willing to teach us these things. This is the final illustration and I'll be done tonight. Hey, we all understand, and I've already quoted the scripture on this, but the parent who doesn't discipline their kid doesn't love their kid. If you don't discipline your child, you're selfish. That point blank. That is what it amounts to. Okay, the reason a parent doesn't discipline their child, we could go through and name a lot of these, but a lot of times it's because they just want to sit on the couch and they don't want to put up with it. They don't want to deal with it. All right? And it really is a token, it is a loveless action not to discipline your children. God loves us infinitely. And he will never neglect us in that way. Understand his love for you. He loves you enough not to let you do certain things, go certain ways, without trying to correct you. And so instead of resenting it, instead of not listening to it, when he's trying to teach you through circumstances of your life, let him have his way. And if you're going through a circumstance today where God is trying to teach you, I want to encourage you to start listening. I want to encourage you to start responding to his love for you. We love him because he first loved us. And so when he shows his love to you, even through chastening, you ought to respond to it. You ought to respond to it. I have more illustrations I could share, but I told you I'd only have one more, so I'll stop right there, okay? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.